Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Africa. I'm Zeenat Hansrod. Joining me in Paris today is Akere Muna, barrister from Cameroon, who recently announced that he is a presidential candidate for elections in October next year. You've been in Paris for almost a week now, giving a series of interviews. Have you already started your political campaign?
No, I'm in transit in Paris. And many of your colleagues asked to speak with me. And I don't think I have many voters here in Paris, so...
You're 65 years old. You've had a prestigious career,
Thank you.
Both in Cameroon and internationally. Among many accomplishments, you were the head of the Cameroon Bar Association, vice chairman of Transparency International, chairperson of the peer review mechanism, and you are currently the chairman of the International Anti-Corruption Conference. You said in the past that you didn't want to be involved in politics. Don't you want a happy, peaceful retirement?
I want to retire in my country, and those who think they can have peace when others are suffering are living in dreamland. So the situation back home is getting pretty dire, and we're getting to the point where I think I can be of some use, and that's what's motivating me. Peaceful retirement, yes, it'll be great, but in a peaceful country, it's even better.
What motivated your decision, apart from the Anglophone crisis?
Well, the Anglophone crisis is a serious matter because it dates from many decades. But I think it's really the result of bad governance. The government has failed woefully to efficiently manage diversity. And the result is that all other defects and other issues have been made worse. In the Northwest and Southwest, it's not turned into what is known as the Anglophone problem. And therefore, my motivation is more in the way the governance has functioned economically in the corporate sector, in the economic sector, and the political sector. And I think that my experience, mostly with the APRM, the African Peer Review Mechanism, puts me in a position where I can actually help. So that is to say, yes, the Anglophone problem, but it is the result of other macro issues, and I think I could help with others to find a solution to this.
You said macro issues.
Well, macro issues are basically governance, the rate of corruption. The poor and the weakest are now bearing the brunt of the economic situation. The healthcare situation is very bad. The biggest problem that investors talk about Cameroon is judicial uncertainty, and that's bad. We have built a country where the state has been captured by a few oligarchs who think about themselves. There's something that the current Pope said in Brazil, which I think is very amazing. He said, you judge a country by the way it treats the poorest. And I think if we, Cameroon, was now being judged, it'll be judged very poorly.
No sooner had you announced your candidacy than the voice of critics raised very loud. Mm-hmm. You're perceived to be from the bourgeoisie and part of the establishment. Your critics, and many of them from English-speaking Cameroon, feel that you are going to be a continuation of the Biya apparatus. What do you say to them?
Well, listen, firstly, some people have the advantage of being able to choose the family they're born in. I don't have that advantage, and I wasn't able to choose. I understand those who are reticent, because this government, if there's one thing it has achieved, it has broken the trust with the people. I have not been part of the system. I've had the opportunity to join government many times, and that I haven't done. And few people know this. While my father was in government and in parliament till he retired, he advised us, and we followed the advice, not to do any government briefs because of fear of conflict of interest. And that we never did. The first cases I did for the government was well after my father was retired and even dead. All these arguments were thrown at me. Is it a dynasty? Who do you think you are? I think that the greatest test in any kind of election is when your peers elect you. Now, I've been elected by lawyers themselves twice. I was head of the bar, voted by lawyers, head of the Pan-African Lawyers Union, voted by lawyers. I went to the African Union, voted by many countries. I went to the APRM, chosen by other presidents. I think it's fair enough for those who don't know you in an atmosphere of mistrust to behave the way they are behaving. But I do believe that when I get to know me more and listen to me, they would change their minds.
Your critics say that your family and yourself have profited under President Biya's regime.
That really is a stunning declaration, benefiting from the system. I would like people to be precise about what they mean by that. Is it because I'm a lawyer and I accept to do a case in London that saved the sale of the embassy, which is going to be sold? Is it because as a lawyer, 40 years experience, I'm giving briefs in English-speaking part of the world, that I've taken advantage of the system? And the other part, advantage, I would just take one family member, my brother George. He decided to support the CPDM. He supplied T-shirts and other stuff to the party to the tune of about $3 billion. He never got paid. My brother Bernard, his only investment was seized by the government. And the evaluation was done by the courts that he lost around $800 million. My brother Bernard, who was called to the bar in England in 1966, came back, and after 3 years, he resigned from the magistracy just because he never got promoted. Why? Because he's the son of where his father is. I did work for the government. It took them 9 years to start paying me. I came back from England, called to the bar. I was called to the bar in 78. It took me 4 years to get enrolled on the bar just because I was an Anglophone. And when I told my father, I said, my son, you have to go through that. They can slow you, but they cannot stop you. So,
sister was a minister?
Well, my sister is a member of the CPDM. She's a hardworking woman. She decided to be a part of the ruling party, which is her choice. And I don't think that she should be denied her choice just because her father was who he was. So she did that, and of course, she worked hard, rose to become minister. That's her choice. I was asked to be, and I didn't want to. So I'm waiting for somebody to say, Akere Muna, you had this because who your father was.
Your father, Solomon Tendeng Muna, was the Prime Minister of West Cameroon and
correct.
Speaker of Parliament for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he was also the architect of the reunification
yeah.
of Cameroon. Some Anglophones feel that he betrayed them during the negotiations, hence their criticism.
Mm-hmm. It's okay 50 years afterwards to judge, okay? My father and Dr. Funcher, who was the leader then, acted on the basis of good faith and a situation that everybody knows about. Now, the fact that the others were of bad faith is sad. And him and Dr. Funcher, in the later days of their life, did say that, you know, what happened is that, you know, the other party was not honest. And that's how the Anglophones found themselves in a funny partnership, which I call the partnership of the horse and the rider.
You say that Cameroon must move towards a new republic.
Correct.
A union, we must define, your words.
Yeah.
Cameroon was known as the Federal Republic of Cameroon in 1961, then the United Republic of Cameroon in 1972,
mm-hmm.
and now the Republic of Cameroon since 1983.
Mm-hmm.
What's your idea behind this new republic, this union?
Firstly, new republic is because we have to have a systemic change. We have a system that was built on quacks inherited from colonialism, built around quacks, put together to make sure there's only one leader all the time, the same for one party system, and then all sort of laws arranged to favor the incumbent. Because now that we had many parties, we have to ensure that the incumbent can always manipulate the law to get reelected. Now, these are systemic problems. We have a judicial system which is supposed to be one of the three powers, but it doesn't make sense because the judiciary is totally under the executive. We have a parliament that in all its existence has never, ever proposed a single law. We have a country, 57 years afterwards, has never elected a president to a first term. Ahidjo was put in there by the French as president, and Biya was put in there by Ahidjo. So the elections of next year, to my mind, it's going to be a ground changer. That's what I mean going towards a new republic. Talking about the union, I think it's clear that the decentralized system, which we are trying to put in place with great hesitance, would no longer work. It is shown that the Anglophones who still get trained in the common law system, you have lawyers who are trained in England and in Nigeria, need to be able to practice in a system that they know, understand, and that their own people are used to. So it is paramount that we look towards a federal system. Now, It's not because Anglophones want a federal system that the Francophones don't have a right to it. And it is not that we only have to have two states. I think the dialogue should center around how many states, what is the basis, how we go about it. That's a dialogue. But it is clear to me that the best decentralized system for the country is the federal system, is the federal form of government. And that is the new republic.
And that entails a new constitution.
Of course. I mean, the constitution has to be taken all over. A Bill of Rights has to be in it. It has to be a constitution which is people-friendly, which is centered around protection of liberties, protection of the rule of law, ensuring that every Cameroonian is at ease in his country.
President Paul Biya is 84 years old, ruling Cameroon for 35 years. You know him personally.
Of course, I know him, yeah.
You said that you feel obligated, as an African, to protect him. Does that mean immunity?
Well, listen, when you ask me my opinion, I don't feel that African leaders should automatically face trial. And this is a debate I've had in TI with my colleagues as to whether immunity should be given to former leaders who have been corrupt and stuff like that. That's my idea. But as a lawyer, I know that there's a separation of power, which I shall insist upon, the judiciary, the executive, and of course, legislative. And that will be a decision for the courts to take. But for me, as a Kerimuna, as a person, as a citizen, I have a right to an opinion. I don't see what can be gained from dragging an 84, 85-year-old leader to the desire for vengeance. Cameroonians are angry. They need somebody who should be the scapegoat. There's so many issues we have to deal with, from the independence, the terrorism, the fight, what has gone on, the coup d'etat, who was killed, who wasn't killed, whose property was taken. And I think that the sooner we deal with these things in a manner that brings us together, not in a manner as if we're trying to mete out vengeance, I think the sooner we do that, the better it will be for us.
Then what about accountability? Don't you think that the Cameroonians who have suffered would want to see some forms of justice?
Of course. I mean, you know, I'm talking about the president. I'm not talking about people who were in positions where they did certain things. That's a totally different matter. The question was specifically about putting a president of 84, 85 on trial. I think that that is not what our country needs. But if there are people there who shot people, that's something else. If the people who took land that wasn't theirs, if the people who committed illegal acts, that's a totally different matter. It will be for the courts to decide, as I said before. But I was given an opinion as to what I think. And to me, the future is more important than the past. Past informs us, but the only chance we have of fixing things is in the future. That's where the action is.
When you announced your candidacy on October 8th, you simultaneously announced your NOW movement,
yeah.
Not a political party, you insisted.
Yeah.
Is it a movement à la Macron, Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, meaning the movement will become a political party nearing election day?
It's clear it's not a political party but when you create a dynamic, you want to have a reference point people can go to and talk to. So the movement is more like a wide tent for people from anywhere. It can be from this ruling party, CPDM, it can be from SDF, you can be a Francophone, you can be an Anglophone, you can be from North, South, it's anywhere. If you think that what you're doing is something that you like, something you think can move the country forward, you join the movement. It's really non-partisan, it is a dynamic.
A think tank?
A think tank, no. It is a tent that will accept everybody.
Can we now talk about what politicians do not want to talk about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Where are the funds coming from?
So far from personal funds, you know, and family assistance. And now I'm beginning to get into assistance from friends. That's the first circle. And the next level will be assistance from members of who have called in and say, well, listen, I want to help this cause. How can I contribute? So, because that's where we also test that the fact that the people are ready to pay for the change they want. I'm going to start a system whereby you can go online or go with your phone and send 200 francs, which is, I don't know, to the movement to help it.
Uber-like system?
Yeah, more or less. It's one that really causes the citizens to buy into the process, yeah.
And a lot of support from the diaspora so far?
Yes, I think the diaspora in the Francophone side has been more reactive. The diaspora in the Anglophone side has been reticent because of course, the situation in the North and Southwest. They thought that the path they chose was more urgent and immediate. That's what they think, but I don't think it's more strategic, because we are 1 year less from an election, and I think that it is good to try the political process as a solution towards the problem.
Akere Muna, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.